gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Is Mama on the Larry King Live up there?
No, there was a problem with Shano's posting of it on YouTube. So as soon as that gets resolved, we will put it up.
Oh, not a minute too soon. On with my dear friends Ben Stein and Penn Jillette. We're getting to be the little, we're like the Cheers barroom gang.
Yeah,
on Larry King.
His little go-to gang.
Yes. All right. So lots to get to today. What a big show. Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America, he's going to talk about the Louisiana Watergate.
Yeah. Holy crap, is that delicious.
Oh, my God. And then New York Times columnist Frank Rich, the best columnist in the world, and Hump Days with Hal Sparks. What a show.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't miss a minute if I were me.
And Hal... Well,
I can't miss a minute because I'm... I'm just saying if I were you, if I were someone other than, I still wouldn't miss a minute.
Right. But your ass isn't going to be on camera today. It's just going to be Jim and me and Hal on camera.
Oh, that's right. It'll be the L.A. Bureau of Stephanie Miller International.
Yes.
So it'll be no steamy Steph and Hal cam this week. All right. All right. So lots to get to. This is the place anyone who's anyone, Chris, comes to talk about.
Whatever.
I gotta work on that catchphrase. I'm not sure what that's about. But
yeah, it's a little clunky.
Mm-hmm. Congressman John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, or the Commonwealth in this case. Good morning, Congressman. Good morning, Congressman.
Where can I watch you?
You can, on the YouTubes. I was on Larry King last night.
Oh, okay.
All right. Congressman, obviously tonight is the big night, the State of the Union, 9 p.m. Eastern, by the way, 6 p.m. Pacific. What do you expect to hear? What do you want to hear?
Well, I think what the president needs to do is to lay out a clear plan for rebuilding the economy and creating jobs. I think that's the number one thing. I think the American people, they want to know that we know where we're going. And, you know,
are we going?
Yeah, that's a good question.
we're all a little befuddled now.
Question. But I think that's what the American people are looking for. First of all, they're not going to believe. They don't believe anybody anymore. I mean, they don't believe media people. They don't believe politicians. They don't believe business people. Nobody has any credibility. President has more than most. But so they're going to want some evidence that we have a clear plan and that the president has a clear plan. That's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
The spending freeze, which he's obviously going to mention, is something that I think is probably not the best policy, but it's probably great politics in this environment.
Yeah, it's interesting. Basically, that came out during our show yesterday, and it was quite the hot button, as you can imagine, has become on the right and the left. I've been called a apologist, but I'm sort of a hope monger. I'm still a hope monger.
Hope monger, yeah.
But I get it. That's the thing. That's the problem with being a Libra, Congressman. I get both sides of this argument, but I agree with you that I think this was clearly a political move.
How do you function in this world if you get both sides?
What's that?
How do you function in this world if you actually
I don't.
Stand both sides?
If you're anyone that knows me, you know that I don't. I barely function. here's the thing. I just don't want us to take the wrong message from Massachusetts. I do not think the message is, people want Democrats to be more timid. I've said this over and over, Congressman, but you and I have talked about it. I think that clearly... healthcare, that's the thing I'm going to be most interested to hear, aren't you, tonight, is what is the way forward on healthcare?
Absolutely. And I talked to some people at the White House yesterday, and as of yesterday, they weren't quite sure what it was. I think they would like the House to adopt the Senate bill. And then I think that some of those changes that were negotiated could be implemented sometime down the road. I don't think there's any chance of that, and I don't think the White House realistically thinks there is. And we had a caucus meeting last night, and I don't think the speaker thinks there is as well. And so we're probably looking at a muddled future for the next few weeks. But I hope everybody is aware, and there was a poll done of 10 frontline Democrats. These are the most vulnerable new members.
right.
in their districts. And the numbers were astounding as to the overwhelming majorities that wanted a more decisive action on health care, wanted a public option. I mean, 3-1. Even Republican, a majority of Republicans in those districts yep. wanted a public option. So yep. I agree with you. The hardest thing about this job is putting noise in perspective, and Massachusetts created a lot of noise, but if you look below the surface, the numbers that came out of the Washington Post poll over the weekend, where by vast majorities, people said, we don't want Scott Brown to go into Washington to stop the Democratic agenda. We want
exactly.
him to work with the Democrats.
This is exactly what I was saying on Larry King last night, Congressman. It's just infuriating to
I
me.
Wish
that
I'd seen you.
Well, exactly. It's all about me. No, I mean, my point is just, but it is infuriating that people just go with the media storyline like, oh, Massachusetts was a rejection of health care. Mm-hmm. The polls vastly show it was not. They have mm-hmm. health care in Massachusetts, which Scott Brown voted for. You know, it was about, oh, we don't want to pay for everybody else's. I think the president needs right. to reframe the issue tonight because, as you say, a year ago, I mean, the public vastly behind health care with a robust public option, a far more, quote unquote, liberal bill than it even exists now.
Exactly.
So, you know, yeah. So I agree with you that I look, he has tried bipartisanship for a year. He's going to get nothing but a solid wall of obstructionism. Whatever he says tonight, let's you and I guess, they're going to be against it, right? They've already written the response.
That's right. Well, I'm trying to get our people here to hold a hearing on the Republican health care bill. Because,
right.
First of all, I've read it, and about half of what's in it is actually in our bill. So
yeah.
the idea
yeah.
that we don't have any of their ideas or we don't have any common ground is ridiculous.
Yep.
And we don't call their bluff enough. We let them get their
Thank you.
Pot shots. And we need to put them on the spot. What are your ideas? What do you want to do?
Right.
Well, you know, but we're already doing that. So what's
right.
your complaint? I mean, it's,
you know, and
it drives me nuts, too.
You know, Congressman, me too. And the way, you know, I think the way forward, which I wish the president would say tonight, is, you know, what's been, you know, the vice president and others have talked about, that they are abusing the filibuster. And if we mm-hmm. have to get health care done, this is what the American people voted for. You've got to put parts of it through on reconciliation, in my opinion.
Well, of course, the problem with that is, of course, they're going to complain anyway, and they will criticize us as using...
Yes, Sean Hannity will call you names no matter what you do.
Even though they used reconciliation to pass the tax cuts, and we actually right. used reconciliation to pass welfare reform and a lot of momentous things. I mean, it is the concept of majority rules, after all.
Right.
A strange
but, Congressman, that's my point, isn't it? It's,
yeah.
it's like, first of all, we've got to reframe this issue. The health care bill is going to cut the deficit. When you talk about this spending freeze, a significant way of cutting the deficit is passing this health care reform.
Exactly.
A significant way of cutting the deficit is repealing the tax cuts for the top 1% that the Republicans put through on reconciliation, right?
That's right. And also, health care reform is a significant job creator. According to one
right.
study, it's 4.5 million jobs created over the next 10 years. So I think that's what he needs to do as well tonight, is to cast health care as part of the job creation economic growth argument, as well
right.
as the fiscal responsibility argument that you met.
Well, I mean, and I have to say, look, I'm a liberal, but I'm a fiscal conservative, meaning I'm cheap, personally. But, you know, I think there is some fat that can be cut. But to me, you're right. This is a political thing. It's a, you know, olive branch, again, to Republicans that have given him nothing when, you know, and I agree with both sides that it isn't going to affect the deficit profoundly.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I really have said over and over, I do think he inherited a giant mess, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and wait and see what he says tonight, you know?
Right. I think that's right. I think he'll be fine, and he's not going to make everybody happy. I think that's his intention. I think he's going to take Congress on to a certain extent, which probably is good politics for him. And, you know, maybe it's okay for us, too. Clearly, there was one poll over the weekend that said, who do you think is most responsible for the country's problems? 48% said congressional Republicans, 41% said congressional Democrats. So we still got a little bit of margin there, and I don't think there's anything wrong with, as you said, complaining about the filibuster, the tactics that the Republicans have used, and the whole structure of Congress are dysfunction, because
right.
we are dysfunctional right now.
I mean, right, but
not
I think
on
we've
our,
also
not on our side of the building. It's all on the Senate side, of course.
But, you know, I think also, Congressman, I mean, he's got to herd the cats on our side, doesn't he? I mean, you know, what are the latest, you know, Evan Bayh and Blanche Lincoln have put up roadblocks to any way to get health care done. I'm just saying, yeah. You know, I think that, you know, we've got to stop. What was it? Howard Feynman said that he gave away his political capital to Max Baucus while he, you know,
that's right,
negotiated with six Republicans for how many months, you know?
That's right. He absolutely did.
So
I think they regret that.
Yeah, well, I hope so, but yeah. I hope so enough lay out a strong way forward.
Yeah,
tonight.
And we'll see if he continues that pattern with financial reform in the Senate. Because if you turn that over to Kent Conrad then and to Baucus, then you've just repeated the mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we need some good old-fashioned Lyndon Johnson, Three Stooges head knocking in the
exactly.
Oval Office.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. We may need to hit someone with a bag of flour. That's what my point is. Congressman John Yarmuth of the great Commonwealth of Kentucky, one of the good guys. Thanks so much, Congressman.
Stephanie, good to talk to you.
All right, thank
you.
You too. All right. That was not my best interview. When I'm fired up, I talk entirely too much. I apologize.
Well, you are fired up. There's a lot of things to be fired up about today.
I was just peppering him with my thoughts. I'm sorry. I normally ask their thoughts more.
Yeah. Surprised you didn't ask him about Apple's new iGadget that's going to be released today.
I'm sorry. That was a crappy interview. They can't all be good.
No, it was fine. You did good there, Steph. Yeah. Buck up.
Buck up, little fella. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. You know, kids, I think I've mentioned over and over again that the one biggest thing I could not have made the move from L.A. to New York was Carbonite, because it backs up everything on my computer. It's during times like that, when you move or when your idiot producer loses your laptop.
Hey!
That you realize, hey, what if I lost everything on my computer?
You know, you moved your computer in your car, and if the car had hit a serious bump and jostled the hard drive loose, you could have lost everything.
Yeah, that was ill-advised to send all my stuff in my car, and I did it anyway.
Yes, it was.
See, Carbonite makes me overconfident. It backs up your PC or your Mac automatically whenever you're connected to the Internet. It's safe. It's secure. Imagine losing your most important personal and financial documents, whatever means the most to you, photos, emails, music. Imagine the relief now of getting them back with Carbonite. Remember, you got to back it up to get it back. Sign up today. Check this out. $55 for the entire year. That's a why not number, Chris.
Sure it is.
$55? Come on. Go to Carbonite.com right now. Use my offer code Stephanie for this special offer for my listeners. You get a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. How about that? Go to Carbonite.com right now. Enter the offer code Stephanie for your free trial and 2 months free if you subscribe. Carbonite.com. Offer code... Oh, Stephanie, that was it. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's the life of the Democratic Party. Ignore the lampshade. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, but I'll be talking to Frank Rich in about an hour. How
yes.
about that?
And the president
about
will be talking tonight.
Massachusetts really meant.
Yes.
Pardon me?
And the president will be talking tonight.
Yes, indeed.
For
thank
an hour.
Thank you, King Segway.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Deb in Ohio on the president. Hey, Deb.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling to say that I'm a little bit miffed at the MOOCs, although I love them dearly, so I don't want them to take this
well,
in the wrong way.
Well, welcome to my world.
They
are human irritants that I love within an inch of their lives.
Oh, every inch, every centimeter.
Yes.
But I'm a little concerned about all the fury at Obama coming from the left. I think he's a pragmatist dealing with a little bit of right-wing hell on earth. And we do need to grow up a little bit. I'm old. I remember 1968 when we split the party over Hubert Humphrey mm-hmm. and got Nixon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we got McGovern in 72 and we got the Nixon landslide. And then we split the party.
I agree with you. I'm like, okay, really?
Yeah.
What, do you want Sarah Palin? Is that what you want? Is that what you want to help happen?
We split the party over Jimmy Carter, and we got two Reagan terms and the total destruction of the economic infrastructure.
Right.
And all this time, the right wing has been moving steadily and very practically into real power. They dominate the media in a way they didn't when I was young. They dominate our politics. They've eroded the tax base to the screaming point. And I think it's really important.
Well, you know what, but I think the more important thing, Deb, is you know, look at the Democrats in power. That's this is exactly the problem. The Bush Republic, they got everything through he wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Lincoln. What's her name? Lincoln and
Blanche Lincoln.
Evan Bayh, the latest ones. It's the headline this morning, Deb, is Senate Democrats throw up roadblocks to health care.
I know. And I think it's because people have been running scared for a long time. They're dominated by spin masters and controllers who are merely concerned with winning elections. They like the power of being in the Senate. I think they're completely corrupt.
Yeah.
And I'm upset about the same things everybody's upset about. But I'm also upset about the fact that we stand to lose so much. I mean, the Republicans are moving into pure fascist territory. They really scare the pants off me, which is a horrible sight at my age. You don't want to see that.
But, Deb, you know, this is exactly what I'm just as frustrated as anybody on the left right now that I'm like, I don't understand. People don't remember how disastrous the Bush 8 years were and the fact that they just passed all his disastrous policies through reconciliation.
Yeah.
Why are we such pusses?
We need to get our act together, but we need to get our act together in a way that I still believe that showing some vigorous support for Obama, you know, tough love,
I agree.
Instead of just getting mad and going home.
No, I agree. Absolutely hold his feet to the fire. I mean, I think that, you know, the points are valid, that the spending freeze is a political thing that's, you know, more outreach to the right without really accomplishing anything significant. I mean, I get all the arguments, you know, but,
right, but
there are places that I'm sure that are not. I think one top economist was saying yesterday there are some things that are unnecessary that can be cut.
Yeah. And if he needs to play that game, I think we need to stay there with him a little bit longer because what we risk is just huge. And I don't want another left-wing tantrum, you know, taking us into really, really scary reactionary territory.
Yep. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. All right, Deb, thank you.
Guys.
All right, love you too. Good call. There you go.
Aww.
You know, one of my friends pointed that out, Chris. Have you ever noticed how I have the smartest and funniest listeners in the world?
You do.
Because my friend was like, all the callers of right-wing radio are like dumb as stumps.
They kind of are.
Because some people are like, I don't listen to talk. I don't care what callers think. That's not why I listen. But Mama has the smartest listeners in the world, is all I'm saying.
That's right.
Someone said they are. They're really funny. And, you know, you've heard the Rush calls.
Yeah.
Ditto, Rush! And also... it's some version of that.
Yeah, believe me, I was a phone screener at a far right wing station. I know the intelligent.
Like?
Oh God, it was hell on earth. Oh my God. I mean, you really could hear the banjos.
Yeah, you can. You just thank you, welcome to the program. You can just hear the heavy breathing through like the lack of teeth already.
Yeah.
Rush, I've done everything you said is right. Okay. All right. No offense to all y'all's Rush listeners. Okay. So, obviously, the big speech tonight, the State of the Union. Mama will be drinking heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Will you be playing the Huffington Post drinking game?
Oh, what is that?
Oh,
I haven't chosen a drinking game yet for tonight.
Well,
what is it?
There's one on the Huffington Post. I'll have to pull it up for you during the break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like I need a drinking game.
You're just going to drink.
Sure. I think bipartisan. I'm going to chug something. Sort of outreachy kind of things.
You'll chug a nail polish remover.
Any sort of Republicans have some good idea. Anything like that. All right. 29. Yes, they have a good idea. They would like you dead politically. How's that? 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the State of the Union tonight, the spending freeze, and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, I myself used to be doable.
What happened?
I turned 30.
Oh, pardon me, I was distracted. I was reading my own press again.
Uh-oh.
Why, you know, Michael Harrison, the of Talkers Magazine, has just named, look at this, Stephanie Miller has been named the MC of the upcoming New Media Seminar in New York City. Why, look at that!
But you know nothing about
Michael
New Media.
Michael Harrison says Stephanie Miller is perfect for the task. She is beautiful. Oh. Funny and entertaining and a compelling star in this field. When she gets up at the podium, the New Media Seminar rocks. He's thinking of my... you remember I had to introduce Sean Hannity a couple years ago.
What is, Stephanie, what is New Media?
I'll figure it out by then. It's up till March.
Oh, no.
Yes, it's, yes, I'm apparently, let's see, blah, 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 the role of MC is one of the most successful blah, and oh, isn't that very nice? A very nice press release. Oh, look who else is going to be there is Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Pardon me?
Roger Hedgehog. You keep getting that wrong. It's,
excuse me. Yes, Roger, yes. Hedgehog.
Cock. Roger Hedgehog.
Oh, okay. Well, he'll be there.
Okay.
35 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll
never
free.
Never gets old.
Never, ever gets old.
No,
Or if it gets old for other people, I don't care.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nope.
All right, so we have a big show coming up. Carl Frisch coming up from Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World. So the big speech is tonight. Mm-hmm. What do you want to hear? What do you think you're going to hear? You know, Chris, I know we got into a bit of you guys beat me about the face of the head with a bag of oranges verbally all day yesterday.
Just like Bing Crosby did to his kids.
Exactly. You and Jim Bing Crosby'd be yesterday on the, you know, the thing
we could break out the wire hangers. And Joan Crawford, you.
I am not one of your fans!
Oh, dear. Okay. The spending freeze is on non-security-related programs and government agencies. The administration claims it will save $250 billion over the next decade. That is only 3% of the $9 trillion deficit. That's, I think, the operative thing, Chris, is it's just... It's an olive branch politically. It's a reaction to Massachusetts that I think everybody on both sides would agree. And by the way, the president got hit with a bag of oranges by people on both sides.
Absolutely.
Yesterday. So
as well he should have.
Boy. Anyway, because I think what I was saying, it's just not significant. I think most economists would say, you know, you have got to. That's the thing that I don't understand. I was saying this on Larry King last night, Chris, that. Mm-hmm. These conservative heroes, Ronald Reagan and Dwight Eisenhower, do you know what the tax rates were under them?
A zillion percent.
A zillion percent more than they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the thing that, you know, George Bush's tax cut for the top 1% that is significantly that in the illegal war that caused this deficit, you know, that's what, to me, we have to address.
The illegal war, the illegal war that wasn't even in the budget.
But what I'm saying is, so here's another olive branch. The president is handing out, look, we will, you know, cut some spending if, you know, but the Republicans aren't going to come along on anything, Chris.
I know.
So that's the, you know.
So why even offer an olive branch?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God, you're coming around to our side.
Well, as you know, I moved to New York because Ed Schultz told me to. I mean, how?
So now you're.
How many principles could I have?
So now
when
you're
Larry
doing things...
asked me last night when I'm coming back to L.A., I'm like, when do you want me? I'm just, you know, I'm so malleable. I'm just like I'm a little lump of clay.
Wow, you may actually start doing things that I tell you to do.
No.
No?
No.
All right.
Let's not get carried away. So, and the problem is, Chris, the conservatives, they mock him no matter what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So conservatives were just as vicious yesterday as liberals. They've mocked the freeze as not doing nearly enough, blah, blah, blah. That's what I mean. It doesn't matter what he does, Chris. They will find a way. Redstate.com, the right-wing crazy website, said it would have virtually no impact on the financial standing of the United States of America. Michelle Malkin compared the freeze to promising to slow down from 250 to 249.9. The boner, well, he's always with the zingers. You know how he is.
Uh-huh.
He likened the plan to announcing you're going on a diet after winning a pie-eating contest.
John Boomer.
Liberals, of course, not happy either, arguing less government spending will slow economic growth, that cutting government services will harm those in need. Paul Krugman, who Jim quoted yesterday, labeled the freeze a betrayal of everything Obama supporters thought they were working for. Mm-hmm. Mother Jones said the liberal base has yet another reason to be disgusted with Obama. Rachel Maddow, I watched the piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She kind of eviscerated the president.
Yeah, she said it's counterintuitive, it's completely insane, it violates the basic principles taught in any 101 level college econ class.
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking though, Chris? I don't know if it's gonna do as bad as the right wing thinks or the left wing thinks. I don't think it'll do much of anything.
It's not gonna do much of anything. So it's a big, huge waste of time.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time.
Robert Gibbs talking about
what the president has proposed, a process by which every family in America has to make budgetary decisions. What they have to spend money on versus what they'd like to spend money on, but they can't afford in tough times.
You know, look, Chris, I do think one of the concerns out there is the spending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this is the problem. This is what I was talking to the congressman about a few minutes ago, how we have to reframe the issue, particularly on health care. Because they've been able to paint this as some big government spending program. It will reduce the deficit far more significantly than this stupid spending freeze.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how and what we have not grabbed the issue on is, you know, the bank bailouts and the auto. Bush did that.
Yes.
Obama came in and, you know, and so some things may even have been politically necessary, but, you know, but not popular. But that's what I'm saying. It's like we're allowing them to paint the president as responsible for all of this. And that's why I agree with that caller that we have to get behind the president at this point, not help the Republicans shoot him down, you know.
But he's not making it easy to get behind him.
Well, let's wait till tonight is all I'm saying.
Well, then we won't have a talk radio show, will we?
What's that?
We won't have a talk radio show, will we, if we wait until tonight to say something about it.
This will just, we'll just put on Girl from Ipanema all morning. Let's just wait. Please stand by. The president hasn't said anything yet. Please stand by. Hold your bag of oranges and stand by. All right. It is a political move, Chris. You got to admit that. The thing that I love is people going, the president's a politician. That's the thing. We were talking about a recent poll. You know, some of the biggest supporters of Obama, Hillary voters, because they never, you know what I mean? They didn't have the idealism that some of us had. They're like, he's a politician, you know, and you have to do some things politically. So that's the problem. Is I think it is. It's designed. You know what the analysts are saying. It's designed to blunt the attacks against the stimulus. Which that's the other thing, Chris. That's the other issue. They've managed to make that seem unpopular, and it's working. You know, it's like we're kids in the back seat going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? You can argue over how many jobs, Chris, it's, you know, saved or created, but it has. You know, so, I mean, but that's...
Yeah, but the American people aren't feeling it. There's a poll out by CNN this morning that said the middle class feels that the stimulus has done absolutely nothing to help them.
Well, yes, because unemployment is still high. I mean, it is quantitatively created jobs, but you're right, there is still, when unemployment is still this high and you're the one still out of a job, of course you'd think it hasn't done anything. Mm-hmm. You know,
I have several friends who have been out of jobs for a long time, and it's very scary for them, and it's scary for me too.
Well, that's why you toe the line here every morning. So it's not to incur my wrath. Lucky for me that there's this economy going on. Otherwise,
right,
my life would be a lot harder. Paul Krugman wrote yesterday, a spending freeze, that's the brilliant response of the Obama team to their first serious political setback. It's appalling on every level. But, you know, again, I understand, because I also think these are first reactions. Again, I just think let's wait and see, because I don't think that's the only response. You know what I'm saying? It's like, obviously, I think more is going to be laid out in the speech tonight.
Mm.
But I get Krugman's point. He said, just like that, Obama has embraced and validated the Republican worldview, and more specifically, he has embraced the policy ideas of the man he defeated in the last election. But, you know, all I was saying, I was making the point yesterday, that you remember during Clinton's presidency, he got a lot of blowback from the left, and a lot of us didn't like some of the things he did. Remember? That used to be the biggest insult, like, oh, he's the best Republican president we've ever had,
mm-hmm.
You know? But what I'm saying is, you know, he did hand George Bush a huge surplus. I think we would all agree it would be better not to have a huge deficit, right?
Right.
It's just, I know, it's how you get there. That's the, anyway. The liberal blog Open Left described the move as a clear sign that Obama's an idiot. See, that's the thing.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
We're going more over the top than some of the Republicans are, you know? Whatever else you think of him, he's not an idiot. Anyway, but I get, you know, their point historically, and Jim has raised this, I think it's valid, is not repeating the causes of the Great Depression. What they wrote is, after passing a stimulus that most economists, not just liberal ones, said was too small, that was made even more inadequate by being heavily tilted toward poor-performing tax cuts, Obama is now intentionally repeating FDR's mistake of 1937 when he prematurely cut back spending to try and balance the budget and sent the country into a new recession. And I think that is a valid fear. You know, a lot of this is above my pay grade. I'm not an economist, so I don't, you know... Didn't someone yesterday, Chris, mention there could be a second stimulus? Isn't that counterintuitive
mm-hmm.
to the spending freeze? Hopefully he'll explain that. Fire Dog Lake said Obama's basically saying the stimulus fixed the economy and there will be no further government support measures, and he'll govern like a hybrid of John McCain and Herbert Hoover for the rest of his term to curry favor with the deficit maniacs. I think, the message here is that I understand this is how he got elected, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he's been trying to reach out is not working politically.
Right. And
yes, he was elected with a lot of Republican and independent votes. I know a lot of the people. But you know what I'm saying? It's just, unfortunately, he has run into a solid wall of obstruction. And I just think the way to go is not to try to reach more, because I think there is a danger of that. You're trying to be so moderate that basically nothing gets done.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening.
Oh,
Ed Schultz.
Can I just write the speech, for God's sake?
Ed Schultz is right. He's losing his base.
Yeah. even though if I wrote the speech, you know what? I would be sued. The president would be sued by Rob Reiner, because I would probably lift whole phrases out of American President. People would be like, wait a minute, didn't Michael Douglas say that?
Something about sand and drink
what?
And...
Something about sand? What the hell? 45, 45 minutes after the hour. All right, back with our thoughts and yours on what you want to hear tonight in the speech, the spending freeze, and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I am shocked and appalled.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
La 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 la. Yeah, that's how we do it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Mike in Chicago on the president tonight. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Steph? Hey, how's everything?
You're going on. Go ahead.
You know what? I think, first of all, I think Mike Malloy said this, but I'm going to give you credit for it anyway.
Yeah, please.
He needs to get rid of Bernanke, Geithner, and Summers, because it'll prove that he's had the arsonists now beating the firemen. And he needs to get rid of that. At least it'll show.
Well, you know, they're the ones that know the most about it if you watch that Backdraft movie.
Yeah, right. Well, I think it's...
You know, that's why they go to Hannibal Lecter when they need to catch a serial killer. You know what I'm saying?
Because they would know the most.
Bernanke's too big to fail now. You see what I'm saying?
Well, it would show he's listening to his base. And second, mm-hmm. I think it would show he's looking at the economy now with a new set of eyes. And I think he also needs to acknowledge his base that he hasn't been paying attention to the social agenda.
Being we need spooning.
Don't tell, gay marriage, which I did hear he is supposed to be bringing up today. I read it on the news crawl on MSNBC.
He is
supposed to be talking about don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, we'll be like Dr. Evil tonight. Throw us a bone.
Yeah, exactly.
Something.
He didn't do that, and he hasn't been doing that. He's been appeasing the right more than he's been appeasing his base.
Yep, I hear you, Mike. Thank you. Yeah, give us a don't ask, don't tell, and a couple of friggin' sharks with laser beams attached to their head.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning,
sir. I'm looking at President Obama. I was a Hillary voter, and after waking up, I voted for Obama. I started supporting for Ms. President Obama, but I feel like I'm supporting John McCain lately. With mm-hmm. a lot of what he's been doing, he's acting like he has a touch of the Alzheimer. he's not staying on what he said he was doing, what he was going to do. He's been more of a Republican than the liberal president that we were looking for, the Democratic president that we're looking for, to put the issues that we voted him in for on the table and to get them through. We had a majority. We had a supermajority. No one could stop us. They couldn't do anything. They could.
Yeah, maybe he's following the Clinton model too closely. He's going to not get health care done, go more to the center. You know,
yeah,
but
I think I don't know what he's doing anymore. It's before we could at least have some kind of copy or at least had some idea what he was going to do. Now it's just we scratch our heads every day wondering what's going to happen. What is he going to say? What's going on? We don't know anymore.
Yep. And all right, Tim. Thank you. Let's go ahead and play the embarrassing montage.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain proposed a spending freeze, as we know, during the campaign,
right,
which Obama condemned as an example of unfair burden sharing using a hatchet where you need a scalpel.
The problem with a spending freeze is you're using a hatchet where you need a scalpel. That's an example of an unfair burden sharing. That's using a hatchet to cut the federal budget. I want to use a scalpel.
An across-the-board spending freeze is a hatchet, and we do need a scalpel.
Grampy McShame.
I think that the president understands now how serious this problem is, and it requires hatchets and scalpels. It requires a hatchet to bring it under control, and it requires the scalpel to eliminate the wasteful and unnecessary spending that characterizes so much of this bloated spending process we're in. So I appreciate the fact that the president has changed his position since the campaign.
Here's how the administration explains that, Chris.
Tap, 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 tap.
They contend that unlike McCain's proposed freeze, this operates more like a spending cap with some programs funding going up and others down. Which I guess is true. Obama is aiming for what you might call a cut-and-invest strategy, slashing certain programs and boosting others, and I think anyone who looks at it would have to admit there is, in fact, a lot of discretionary spending on programs of little value. Well, that's all I was saying, is that probably is true, you know, that there is some fat in there. Still, many economists have blasted the plan for its potentially anti-stimulative effects and its focus on spending that is not the root cause of the country's long-term deficits, which is what I've been saying earlier, that, we have to get back to some sane version of the top 1% paying their fair share.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no way we're going to dig out of this hole. Joanne in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Joanne.
I thought I was the only one that had seen the Eric Cantor interview this morning on the Today Show. I wanted to throw my shoe at him.
What did he say?
He said that the Republican
Party... Anything you throw would hit his Adam's apple. It's so big.
I know, it's huge. Mm. I just was appalled that he said that he lied to the American people by saying that the Republican Party has been nothing but wanting to say yes to everything the Obama administration has been putting out there, and he just lied to us. Where was his "you lie" person
right
telling him?
Right. Yeah, I know. Don't you love that? It's the Scooby-Doo moment. We've done unprecedented outreach to President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Betsy in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you, Steph and the Mooks.
Thank you, guys.
I don't know what's going on anymore, but I still have the audacity.
Who does? I don't know my ass from my elbow.
I have the audacity to hope still. And I'm hoping what he'll do is get up there and say, there will be Medicare for all. I will do the executive order tomorrow. There will be no more bonuses for the banks, no more money for the banks. From now on, let's try some stimulus for the people and do something for the people for a change instead of the corporations. I'd love to hear it.
Right.
Am I crazy?
No, you've watched American President too many times, as Mama has. I imagine.
How can you sit through that movie a million times? It's like 15 hours long.
No, it is not.
It's something like that.
It makes me want to drink sand.
Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Give me some love music, because it's essentially, Chris, it's a chick movie. It's a chick movie, and it's a liberal movie. And the scene at the end, where he goes, and he goes, I'm sending the crime bill to the floor, and then Annette Bening gets caught in DuPont Circle, and then she shows up in the office. And she goes, and I didn't come back because you sent the crime bill to the floor. And he goes, I didn't send the crime bill to the floor. So
you have
come
watched
back.
It too many
and
times.
That,
yeah. Oh,
and then
my
Richard
God.
Dreyfuss gets eaten by a shark. Oh, wait, that's in
yes,
different movie.
No, that's different. Dudes. All right. Is there some war movies or something you guys want to talk about?
Makes a mountain out of mashed potatoes and gets eaten by a shark and moves in with a chicken.
And then writes an opus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute, Chris. Senator George Lemieux, Republican of Florida, he stole the boner's joke.
Yep.
It's like going to a pie-eating contest and now deciding like you're going to go on a diet.
58 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Six minutes after the hour, Frank Rich coming up in less than half an hour, the best columnist in the world. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. Hump Days with Hal Sparks next hour.
Yes.
Chris and Jim will be up on the Hal Cam in the Los Angeles.
The hot, sexy cam show, I think he calls it. There's a link to it up at StephanieMiller.com.
Exactly. Chris and Yankton with some listener comedy. What's the difference between Evan Bayh and a sphincter? The sphincter has a purpose.
Hey!
Why?
Flavin.
Sphincter says what?
Oh, we have some. Oh, we have the. Somebody sent me the. Tommy sent me the HuffPost drinking game for tonight.
Good, 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 good.
The State of the Union drinking game. Yes, here's my comedy music. Thank you. Obama says, let me be clear, one shot. He will say that. That's his tick.
Let me be clear.
Obama says change isn't easy, one shot. Obama says make no mistake, do one shot. Obama says let me be clear, change isn't easy, make no mistake. He's screwing with you to get you drunk, five shots. Joe Wilson yells something, two shots. Obama yells back, finish the bottle. Obama's, I hope he does. Obama says healthcare, do not drink, you will not be given a replacement liver. Nancy Pelosi claps like a seal, one shot. Obama mentions Bo, put beer in your dog's water bowl. Joe Biden nods off, laughs inappropriately, starts talking before the speech is over. Three shots. Obama uses the term congressional leadership. Do two shots carefully, as all that laughing will make it difficult to swallow. All right. Thank you all, folks. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world. Carl Frisch, our buddy, our pal from the Media Matters for America. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. I'm so glad I'm out of jail in time for the show this morning.
Yay!
Well, you would not believe how hard it is to wiretap a federal building nowadays.
Oh, my God.
Especially when pretending to be a telephone repairman.
Actually, I've learned through a source, I don't know how reliable this is, but they were apparently dressed like Mario and Luigi.
It's like the storyline for some cheesy porn movie.
Yeah. When
telephone repairman.
By the U.S. Marshal, apparently, they said, I'm Mario.
Yeah.
So in case you haven't heard the breaking news, federal authorities have arrested four men on felony charges for attempting to infiltrate Senator Mary Landrieu's New Orleans office, including one filmmaker who targeted the community group Acorn last year in undercover videos. Yeah, a bunch of right-wing whacks, including 25-year-old James O'Keefe, the conservative filmmaker.
Yeah.
Were charged with entering federal property under false pretenses, attempting to gain access to the Democrats' office by posing as telephone repairman.
And he was the guy that was dressed as
clever.
A pimp in the Acorn videos.
Exactly, and he's also the guy that apparently, we wrote last night, is on the payroll of Andrew Breitbart's big government.
So I've heard, yeah.
Mm.
So,
see,
you know,
Carl, this is, I was having a little tizzy fit yesterday talking to somebody that just, this is the thing with Republicans, and I'm not saying all Republicans, but they don't play fair. I'm tired of us having to play by the rules. You know, I mean, they lie. They cheat. And here we are like, oh, we have to still be bipartisan and be the good guys and try to come together and blah, blah, blah. Right?
Well, you know, the funny thing is that when O'Keefe was leaving the jail and waiting for a cab, the press asked him for comment, and he said only one word, Veritas.
Veritas?
Which is Latin for
truth.
Truth.
Yeah.
And then one of his alleged accomplices took to Twitter and said something along the lines of, everyone's released, everyone's doing fine, Veritas.
You have got to be kidding me.
At least they have their talking points together.
That sounds like some rejected Dan Rather sign-off.
No. It sounds like they've been playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is the way that people talk when they're really effective and intelligent.
Or they've been reading a Dan Brown novel.
National Treasure, The Case of James O'Keefe.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God.
God, unbelievable. Wow.
And of course, we'll be tweeting about this as developments happen. People can follow at Carl Frisch or at MMFA. We've got a lot of content up already.
And I think they're auditioning for a new reality show.
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting because remember Fox News promoted this guy's legal defense fund.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see if they continue to do that.
I watched Fox News all night last night, and they didn't mention this thing once in their primetime programming.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah. So, they're not going after this story with the same fervor that they went after the Acorn Gate story.
Yeah, I got caught.
And that's just nutty.
Who could have seen that coming?
Yeah, the funniest thing was when Fox first reported on the breaking news that this has happened, Shep Smith cut to a producer who read part of the AP story, and he said, now that'd be one way to look at this when talking about the guy's connection to the whole Acorn controversy, and ultimately, it's probably one of the most hysterical videos that you've seen on Fox in ages, because at the end of the segment, after they conclude that they do need more context to this story before they can fully report on it.
They don't pause for context when it's a story that hurts the left, do they?
Oh, no. Don't bother even checking. Remember when they showed that video of the Acorn woman playing along with them? So
right.
She murdered
yeah.
her husband.
Yeah.
And then Beck and Hannity all said, look at this woman killed her husband. It's like, really? We would check that before putting it on the air.
Right. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Ridiculous. Yeah, it's I'm sure there's two sides to the story, or maybe he's just a big right-wing crook.
Right.
Maybe that's the whole story.
I'm sure there are two sides to the story.
Yeah.
Alleged wiretapping.
Yeah. You guys at Media Matters have done a great job reporting on this story, so kudos to you.
Thank you. And again, anybody can follow us at on Twitter at MMFA or follow me at Carl Frisch.
Kudos, and also Veritas.
Yes. Veritas.
That's where you get the actual Veritas. It's Media Matters. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear. Uh-oh. He may say something finally that we all agree with. Uh-oh.
It's not a hatchet. It's not a scalpel. It's a Q-tip. It's a fraud. This is a minuscule amount. It's a rounding error. It's lunch money.
You know, Carl, I must say that the president has succeeded in bipartisanship. This is something that nobody likes, apparently, on either side, the spending freeze.
Well, let's be clear. spending freezes are something that Republican candidates love to talk about. So I think the only reason the right doesn't like it is because Obama's the one proposing it.
And you're right. That's the clearest example yet. They won't be for anything you're for, even if it's a Republican idea that you take right out of their playbook, because it's you.
He could announce tomorrow, now look, everybody, I am becoming a Republican, and they would change the name of their party.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Charles Krauthammer again on the budget freeze.
They're just trying to...
But this isn't a real cut. It's an appearance of cuts. It's a maneuver as a response to what happened in Massachusetts, because he lost the independents, Obama, 3-1, and he knows independents worry about debt and deficits and spending. So he announces a freeze, which is meaningless.
Gosh, I'm starting to... I'm starting to throw up in my mouth. I actually agreed with both things Charles Krauthammer has said.
It is a maneuver. It's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're going to have to hear a little bit more about this tonight. But the likelihood that Krauthammer and the other folks at Fox will pay attention to what's being said while they're working on their talking points and their one-liners to say that the president did an awful job. For instance, Sean Hannity said that the State of the Union is propaganda, which is something, in fairness to Sean, that he said all the time about President Bush.
Yeah.
And O'Reilly said that these things are always boring. Again, something that he always said about President Bush. So I'm sure we can expect them to be fair when they analyze what he proposes tonight.
Fair and unbalanced.
Yes, exactly. All right, Hannity on the State of the Union.
They're just trying to repackage. He's going to try and portray himself as a fiscal conservative tomorrow night. Rescue, rebuild, and restore, and all those meetings that were supposed to be on C-SPAN weren't there. Is he going to be able to successfully read the teleprompter, convince the American people that everything that we know to be true is false.
What the hell did any of that mean?
Did Sean just say he speaks for the American people?
Apparently.
Wow.
I'm scared for the American people then.
Yeah. I don't know. Sean has a teleprompter fetish, which is long established. I've seen videos.
Ew!
And,
I like to see him do his show without a teleprompter.
Uh-huh. Right, exactly. I think it would be, you know, you'd just be left with pretty much what you're left with now, I think.
Yeah, I think his earpiece would fall out and you would hear Mark Levin's voice coming out, and that would be like, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
You might hear wind if his earpiece fell out.
Hannity again. On the
all right, all of a sudden the president is worried about the deficit. Well, I guess it's about time after a year of out-of-control spending. It looks like he's decided to do something about it. Now, the president is set to propose a 3-year spending freeze on many domestic programs. He will reportedly unveil this initiative in tomorrow's State of the Union address. Now, this is all well and good, but I seem to remember President Obama being a staunch opponent of spending freezes, something about them being reckless and irresponsible.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, unfortunately, he's, yeah. Once again, he's got us there.
Anybody else having trouble following their logic?
Yes.
Obama's a flip-flopper because this should have been a good thing, but now that he's for it, it's a bad thing. I don't know how to compute what I should be saying versus what Krauthammer said.
Well, this is what I've said. This is what I've said consistently, Carl. Sean Hannity is going to call you names no matter what you do. So why are you doing any kind of outreach to the Sean Hannitys of the world?
It is his verbal tick.
Mm-hmm.
Invective is his verbal tick.
Exactly. Newt Gingrich on O'Reilly.
I think this promise has about as much validity as the 8 times he promised to have C-SPAN cover the negotiations, as the time he promised that there wouldn't be any earmarks in bills he signed. I think this is a PR stunt, and I think it's a test of our ability to be suckered once again.
I've never heard Republicans mention C-SPAN so often.
I know.
It's like this huge talking point.
Yeah. They want everything on C-SPAN, Jim, just like all of Dick Cheney's energy meetings were. Oh,
yeah.
What? Oh,
it can be trusted, like the 3 times I made marriage vows and didn't complete them.
Frankly.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see that on C-SPAN.
Yeah,
for a good laugh. Every time he promised, you know.
I've said it once. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I haven't listened to Newt Gingrich since his second wife.
All right, O'Reilly.
As we predicted, the president is feeling major heat and has begun to change his tone. Last night he announced he wants to freeze discretionary spending for 3 years. That, of course, is a good thing. Any restraint on government spending will help the economy. But both conservatives and liberals are hammering Mr. Obama over the issue. Left-wing zealots don't want any limits on spending. They want social justice. That means they want big money given to less affluent Americans through a variety of programs. Mm-hmm. Fervent right-wingers simply don't like President Obama, so whatever he does will be criticized in those precincts.
Mm, yeah, here's the program. It would be you pay your fair share. How's that? That's the scary socialist program.
So are we going to see some mud wrestling between O'Reilly and Krauthammer? They could fill the thing with falafel. you know, one thing to say about O'Reilly, I don't know if anybody heard this, but he's on this tour called the Bold and Fresh Tour.
Yes.
Apparently
they're
brewing coffee across America.
Yes.
He and Glenn Beck are traveling the country, and on their first stop, he said that, you know, if he could work for Obama, he would get the CIA to kidnap Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, and then he would ask them to waterboard Nancy Pelosi.
Mm.
So, you know, O'Reilly really is a serious journalist, like he claims.
Yeah, I heard, I saw a clip of that, of O'Reilly interviewing the Beck about why the left hates them, and he said, well, because they have no idea, so they just have to call you a racist and blah, 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 and like all the things that he's done. Like, he's the one that called the president a racist, you know?
Right. Yeah, well, in the same sit-down, O'Reilly said that the south side of Chicago reminds him of Haiti.
Oh, dear.
Wow. Wow.
So, you know, I just have to say that when you're pointing one finger, I would say that, you know, four fingers are pointing back at you, but I don't think O'Reilly has opposable thumbs, so.
There you go. Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. Thank you, Carl. See you next time.
Have a good week.
All right, you too. There he goes. Carl Frisch, 19 minutes after the hour. All right. The big speech is tonight. What we want to hear, what you want to hear next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Frank Rich, the best columnist in the world, coming up in just a couple of minutes. All right. And then Hump Days with Hal Sparks next hour. Love with Hal Cam in the L.A. studio.
Yes.
Juanita in Cincinnati, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Yes, people are forgetting. They got short memories. President Barack Obama has been talking about for time for Washington to tighten its belt. Now, he was talking about targeted spending, like eliminating programs that don't work and and enhancing the programs that work. In other words, I'll give you an example. Medicare Advantage, the government subsidizing private insurance companies that do what regular Medicare do itself. He can cut that, redirect it towards health care reform. That's what he's talking about. You know,
right.
You see what I'm saying? Targeted spending. He's been saying it since April 24th of 2000.
Yeah, and I hope he reframes how, you know, health care is going to reduce the deficit, not add to it. So
people,
thank you, Juanita.
People are missing.
Oh, sorry, honey. All right. President Obama will offer repackaged plans to energize the economy, stem a tide of red ink, and strengthen anti-terror defenses. He'll also be trying to revive his own Yes, We Can. You know, here's the thing.
Yes, we can, but no, we didn't.
Not yet, but we will. It'll be a revised version, Jim. You know, the thing that people are saying is it's just his approval ratings were so sky high historically compared to, I guess, you know, like Reagan and Carter even. I mean, it's about the same a year in. So, you know, actually the poll I just saw, he is at a 56% approval rating, which is not really bad. It's just he started at 74.
You know what? His campaign probably should have done something to tamp down on those expectations just a little bit, just so, you know, we wouldn't seem so disappointed when he couldn't get everything done.
Bush was great at that.
He was really great at that.
It's probably going to be a disaster. Hey, wasn't so bad.
Well, actually, it wasn't a disaster.
Bush got through without, you know, a speech without, like, tripping off the podium. And
that was an accomplishment.
Pencil on his tongue.
Yeah.
Right. It was like, oh, it was great. Wow, he did great.
Same age as my mother. Oops, didn't hear the question yet.
Yeah, Tony, we used to say that, right? Watching George Bush give us, it was like watching your kid in the Thanksgiving play. You just were holding
just
your...
Just don't
you
knock over
him,
the set.
Oh. Yes, you were just holding your breath while he got through the line without the set falling on him. Just
don't throw up.
Yeah, but like remember the you know the what do you call it the you can't get fooled again if you can you fool me once and then you can't.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says "Fool me once, shame on
crickets.
Shame on you." If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Oh, jeez.
Tommy, can you hear me?
You know, he was bipartisan in the sense, just if you were an American, you just holding your, please get through this sentence without making Americans look like bigger dopes than you already are. Oh, thank God he finished the sentence. Oh.
Can you see the real me? Can you?
See the Who lyrics.
Yes.
Right.
Won't get fooled again.
The president reportedly will map a way forward for the health care legislation. He will also acknowledge the long, messy debate has soured many on the idea and tried to make a far-reaching overhaul relevant and attractive again to voters. It's new to you. Healthcare, it's new to you.
Didn't NBC try to use that phrase for, you know, their lineup of reruns?
No reruns.
If you haven't seen it, it's new to you.
Must have already seen TV.
He'll renew his call for immigration reform. Oh, that will get lots of support from the right. You know, I'm sure they'll be very helpful on that as well. He will give specifics on how he believes Washington's combative partisan gridlock way of doing business can be changed. Good luck on that. What he'll discuss more than anything else, according to Robert Gibbs, getting our economy moving again, reversing persistent joblessness. There are proposals such as giving tax credits to small businesses. That's a good idea. To add workers and incentives to families to retrofit homes to make them more energy efficient. Obama also plans to talk about various efforts at what Gibbs call a slow chipping away at the deficit. Which, you know what? I wonder if like some Democrat's going to yell, "You lie, Adam." Not the spending freeze. That would be entertaining. Anyway, so we will hear more specifics on the spending freeze and much more. All right. So Frank Rich, as I Jim, every Monday I do a Guess the Quote, so I don't have to do any show prep and I can drink more over the weekend. I just read Frank Rich's entire column. on Mondays. He had a great one about the, as he calls it, the Massachusetts Massacre. We will talk to him about that and the State of the Union next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, my body is redunkadunculous, but I'm also very likable.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Speaking of likable, someone I like entirely too much, probably for Mrs. Rich's taste, Frank Rich, the best columnist in the world, joins us now. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm delightful because I'm paging back through after the Massachusetts Massacre for your Sunday column, just for old times.
It's such an exciting, lovely period in our American history.
I lost all credibility because every week I pronounce it your best column ever. So.
Oh, thank you, but. Was any columnist, including me, has a ton of material to work with these days. But
yeah, I'll say.
But I do hope that the election was a wake-up call for this administration. It can't be, you know, blamed on Martha Coakley and a million other things. There's a real problem here, and it's been the same problem for months. I mean, Obama. Well, he'll talk about fighting and talk a good game about the economy. It's just not gotten ahead of this anger that the public rightly feels about a Wall Street that was bailed out while the rest of us still suffer in varying degrees under this recession.
Right. Well, you know, but I think you always like, you know, have your finger on the pulse, I think, that what you, when you say, I hope it's a wake-up call, but in the right way, you know, that the problem is the media has run with this storyline that it was a rejection of health care or of Democratic policies, and it was not, correct?
No. In fact, one of the biggest problems is that many of the Democratic policies, including many of the individual elements of the health care bill, are popular if they're understood to be Democratic policy. And in the case of jobs, most of the country doesn't believe the stimulus did anything, whereas it did, while it didn't, certainly didn't do enough, it did save jobs, particularly at the state and local level. So here we have a president who is a brilliant communicator. And yet, I don't think most people even know what's in the health care bill. A year into this battle over it, he's failed to explain his own policies correctly and rally people around them.
I agree. I mean, I think, you know, you quoted Howard Feynman. I think Obama took all his winnings and turned them over to Max Baucus. So, you know, we've tried this bipartisan outreach for a year, and this is, you're right, we have dealt with this right-wing wall of lies and let them frame the debate over health care. Can he take it back tonight, Frank?
I don't think one speech can do anything, but I really hope that he makes an effort to explain what he's doing, not add new little, you know, sound bites or little bite-sized Clinton-like initiatives, but actually gives the big picture, and particularly about jobs and health care, and makes it clear how to go forward. One of the problems he has going into the speech tonight is not just the Republicans, who are, of course, as you say, you know, complete. Not only are they making up things about his policies, but they're complete obstructionists. But you also have a Democratic party in Capitol Hill that basically is disorganized and increasingly rebellious, particularly in the Senate. You know, they can't even get together a plan for picking up the pieces on health care now that the Massachusetts election has happened. They do still have 59 votes in the Senate, but they seem completely ineffectual and are not disciplined by the president.
Well, that you know, I think that's exactly it, is that, you know, as we've been saying for a year, I mean, you know, the public was very clearly behind health care reform and a strong public option, a far more liberal plan than is even on the table anymore, correct?
That's absolutely correct. And one of the problems here is you have this president who is immensely popular and still has a fair amount of popularity, who has never quite articulated where he stands on things like the public option. He's sort of waxed and waned on it. Politicians are supposed to come up with at least some talking points to clarify their own policies, and it's amazing that this White House has failed to do that on its signature issue.
Well, I mean, I want to get your take on the spending freeze. Obviously, your cohort, Paul Krugman, has, you know, said this is appalling. It's exactly the wrong reaction to Massachusetts. It's political. I was going to say, speaking of health care, I mean, to me, that's, you know, he needs to explain that that's going to reduce the deficit. Speaking of, you know, I mean, that's the thing. He's allowed the Republicans to paint it as this big spending government program.
Right. I mean, as we know, the so-called freeze, if it happens, is going to save the government, what, $10 billion in 2011, which is, you know, not even a rounding error. So it's complete symbolism. And meanwhile, as you say, the central point that there is a connection between health care reform and economic frugality, saving American people money, that has been said in a sort of a sloganeering kind of way by the White House and the president, but it's never been spelled out, so people don't understand it and they don't believe it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it clearly is political, but, you know, why? I mean, why do you think the president keeps offering these olive branches to the right? I mean, you know, he keeps reaching his hand out. They keep snapping it off.
I don't get it. My best answer would be, this is who he is. I mean, that he is a conciliatory personality. And by the way, in a human being, this is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. He genuinely believes in sort of the community organizing idea of let's try to, you know, find some balance between various competing factions. Unfortunately, and when you have a opposition party that is completely truculent, that has no ideas of its own and just wants to destroy him, this is a lovely gesture that is counterproductive and ultimately meaningless.
You know, it occurs to me while you're saying that, you know, one of my lines during the Clinton impeachment was always, I voted for him for president, not from husband. And
yeah,
I'm thinking,
exactly.
Maybe the opposite is true. Maybe I should have voted for him for
funny.
Husband. But
That's very funny. In any event, he does cling to this, and I imagine that it's completely sincere, but that doesn't mean it's effective.
Right. Well, I mean, your guess is as good as anybody's, right? But do you think there is a way forward on health care? I mean, as you say, I mean, what are you going to do when the headline this morning is Democrats place new roadblock to health care bill? Evan Bayh and Blanche Lincoln.
It's crazy. I mean, yes, I think the way forward is for Obama to write finally his own bill and then start bumping some heads together in his own party. The Republicans are going to object to whatever it is, so forget about that. Write a sensible bill with the things you really believe in, and then get your party to rally behind it.
As one of my listeners said, a little less Urkel, a little more Shaft is what's
needed. Yeah, absolutely. A little more Shaft. But the Shaft has to be around something that's concrete. It can't be just some sort of inchoate, let's get health care moving again, or I still believe in health care. Here's what the bill should be, and let's go to work, guys. That's what, in my view, it should be. And that, I guess, is more Shaft than Urkel. But right now, unless we have to hope it might happen tonight, we don't even have that piece of legislation from the president, written by the president.
Right. I agree. The other analogy was made, we need a little Three Stooges. He needs to, like, hit Joe Lieberman with a bag of flour or something.
Right.
A little more
also,
Lyndon Johnson head-knocking, something.
Right. But, you know, and also people who are really on his side. For instance, I think it's kind of fascinating that Barbara Boxer announced that she was against Ben Bernanke. What everyone thinks about Bernanke, that Obama does support him. It is the Federal Reserve nominee of the President of the United States, and it's really almost unheard of for people of his own party to just diss him like that. And I think it shows how little clout he has even over his own party on Capitol Hill. And Barbara Boxer is not Joe Lieberman. She's one of the most liberal people in the Senate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, on one hand, you know, it reminds you of the mess that he inherited, you know, because you're right. Some of these guys helped us get into it, but they did also help us get out of it, you know. So, you can see both sides of that as well in terms of, you know, is it going to further hurt a fragile recovery if he weren't?
Absolutely. And I think that the worst thing that can happen now is just to have this continued gridlock. That's going to be bad for the Democrats, bad for the president, and bad for the country. And right now we're looking at a country that really, at some level, seems to be incapable of governing itself.
Mm-hmm. My favorite joke from yesterday, Evan Bayh, on the if we do health care with part of it in reconciliation. My concern is if reconciliation is used, that will really destroy any prospects for bipartisan cooperation on anything else. You know, all that bipartisan cooperation we've had thus far, Frank.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if Bayh is so good, why can he not persuade or the White House, for that matter, Olympia Snow and Susan Collins even, let alone people to the right of them? This is all a political posturing on Bayh's part, I think. And who knows what the hell he actually believes in or what principles he has about any of these policies.
Yeah, you'd hate to destroy any of that just a beautiful bipartisan unity
that's taken us to this great moment so far, this great path.
Exactly. Well, what's the the main thing you're hoping to hear tonight? I mean, what are the key points before we go here?
Well, I would say one is what we've just been discussing. Of course, I'd like to hear a coherent, clear, impassioned way forward on health care that's specific, not just I believe in it and let's win one for the Gipper, but an actual concrete plan forward. I also want to hear a talk about the economy that's not full of gimmicks like spending freezes or tiny initiatives, but really addresses strongly what can be done to get not only jobs, but to get banks to start giving out credit, more credit, and to stop cheating Americans with credit card contracts that are preposterous and really almost larcenous, and to also give people relief on foreclosures, because that is a huge cancer in this country. But if it's just a bunch of – so I'm hoping, and I hope it's concrete. I hope it's really, really concrete, not a laundry list, but two or three big things in this area and how we're going to get them done and move forward.
Yep, absolutely.
Agree? I mean, I think that's so important.
I'm not quite as highbrow as you. I hope to hear him call Joe Lieberman a douche at some point in the
speech.
Well,
everyone else in the country has, so he should get behind that parade.
My biggest hope is that I knew someone in the teleprompter department, and I could have Frank Rich actually write the speech and slip it in at the last minute.
Yeah, someone should turn on Joe Lieberman and say, "You lie."
Yes.
But I have to say, my colleague Gail Collins made a great point in the Times in the past week. The one virtue of losing the 60 supermajority is that Lieberman's power is completely diminished.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's
time for that.
To listen to him for a while.
Time for that atomic wedgie he so richly deserves.
Exactly. The most irritating man in American life.
Frank Rich, the best columnist in the world from the New York Times. Thank you, Frank.
Thanks a lot. Great talking to you, Stephanie.
You too, sir. There he goes. I'm sorry, Joe Lieberman. Did you have something to say?
I resemble that remark.
The most irritating man in public life. He is.
No, I'm the most annoying man in public life.
Oh, God, his voice just makes me want to stick something in my eye again. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Thelma in Louisiana. Hello, Thelma.
Hello.
Go Saints.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
Great. I just wanted to make a comment concerning the speech tonight. First of all, I think as an Obama supporter that he has been treated grossly unfair by thinking that he can solve all of the problems that he inherited in 1 year. Is
yep.
the first point I'd
I
like
agree.
To make. And secondly, I would like to say that, you know, everybody complains about the fact that he had turned the health care over to Congress.
Yep.
I think we pay those guys a great sum of money to do a job.
Yep. Well, I mean, Thelma, I think the problem is I think he overlearned the Clinton lesson. Yeah, I mean, the Clinton, you know, lesson was obviously they wrote the whole bill and tried to jam it down Congress's throat. That didn't work. But that
right.
being said, I think the president's gone too far this way. And I think Frank Rich is right. It's time to take control back of this debate.
And I
mean, you know, if he is playing chess and not checkers, like I've been saying, it's time to move your king or your rook or something.
What? Huh? You don't know
you
how
know
to play
saying.
Chess?
King to rook seven. Yes, I do.
Do you really?
No.
I didn't think so.
I think my Republican brother forced me to play once as a child, but I don't really remember. I know that there's rooks and kings and things.
And king to rook three.
Exactly.
Sure.
Okay. So that being
king
said,
me.
I clearly have no idea what I'm talking about, that a president's playing chess and not checkers.
You've been using that metaphor for years now.
I beat the bejesus out of that metaphor. All right. I understand battleship better. It's time for him to move his battleship. What? Okay. Mary in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi
Mary.
I just wanted to say that the elephant in the room is defense spending, although I actually like to call it war spending.
Mm-hmm.
The social programs have already been cut to the bone, and now we've got more and more people on them because of the bad economy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's creating a spiral problem. And the war spending actually...
Yeah,
eclipses...
well, getting the hell out of Iraq and Afghanistan sure would help, wouldn't it? That'd save
a
dime or two.
The war spending actually eclipses the social programs. You could cut every single social program, so it no longer exists, and you still wouldn't even put a dent and what is wasted, and essentially the defense.
Yeah, I mean, Iraq and tax cuts for the rich are what gave us the deficit that he
well,
inherited.
The corporations actually use the war as a money laundering operation to convert our treasury into money into their pockets. And the programs they put in place during the Bush administration and earlier, where contractors were allowed to come in and do all the things that, you know, the Army used to do for itself and so forth.
And Mary, doesn't it kill you that, like, you know, at least the president's being honest? I mean, this was never even on the books, the Iraq War.
I know.
You know?
But
I mean, and why is it that people just, you know, the conservatives were just like, fine, like, oh, yeah, that's fine for that unnecessary war that we spent this much.
So, of course, they were okay with it. But the problem is he has to look at it. And the problem is that up until now, the reason I think they haven't been discussing it is because the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, you want to cut defense spending, you want to make us less safe. But they don't realize the amount of wastage is just astronomical. And if they don't get a handle on it, it doesn't matter if you cut every single social program down to nothing.
Yep.
You're
Did
still
you say
not
wastage?
Going to get the money back.
Did you say wastage? I'm not really sure that's a word.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
It's a word.
Yeah, it is.
All right,
I'm a bookseller.
Oh, she would know.
Wastage?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
From the French, wastage.
Oh, well, now it sounds better, Jim. Thank
eyebrow
you.
Now.
Pam in Madison. Hey, Pam.
Hello. Hi, Stephanie. Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Okay, yes.
I love your show very, very much and hope that it goes on forever and ever. I have 2 points to make on the national spending, specifically with the word freeze. My first point is I'm wondering if people are overreacting to that word alone. For example, it's
right. Well, that's what all I said is let him explain it. I'll be happy to beat him with a bag of oranges tomorrow too. If you know, but I'm just saying let's hear exactly what you know and how it fits into the larger plan.
Right, and I think you know what his plan is basically to reprioritize. In other words, and everybody has to do this in their budget when we're in bad times. It's go and look at the fat in the discretionary budget, and a good example would be the Bridges to Nowhere.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we all have to do it. I've been buying a cheaper Chardonnay now that I've moved here to Calcutta where the prices are much higher. And, Chris, as you can imagine, it's only a tiny dent. It's less than the spending freeze because of the amount of Chardonnay, the ocean of Chardonnay I consume. However, it's something. All right, Michael in Seattle.
Maybe if you, pour Chardonnay on your wounds, it'll keep you from getting diseases there in New York.
Michael in Seattle. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Stephanie.
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
why does no one think I can hear them?
Only because there was talking going on over the top of me, so I just couldn't
go
hear
ahead.
Your response. I'm sorry. I was just commenting on the Bill O'Reilly clip from Right Wing World where he was contrasting how the left and the right both hated the spending freeze. And he referred to the left wing as left wing extremists. And I was going, I wonder how he's going to refer to the conservatives. Is he going to call them the extremists as well? But, no, they were just fervent conservatives.
They're just fervent fiscal conservatives.
They're just reasonable people wanting reasonable things, whereas the left wing, we're just all wackos.
Yeah, and Paul Krugman belongs in a straitjacket. He's so insane. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Hal Sparks next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not yet. We'll see
you
after the night.
Stop preening for the camera there on the Hal Cam. Ugh.
What?
Peacock boys in L.A. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. Carbonite online backup, a must for my computer. Should be for yours, too. Don't wait. Back up your computer today for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. How about that? Visit Carbonite.com. Be sure to use the offer code Stephanie, which I used on my date with Hal Sparks last week.
The promo
that
code Stephanie?
That was my offer code.
Stephanie Miller.
It's Hump Days with Hal, everybody.
Yay!
Where's my Hal jingle?
It has to, yeah. I won't say anything.
Oh, Steffi. Oh.
What's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes! Yes!
Yeah, there's a lot of heavy lifting, let me tell you, ladies, on a date with Hal Sparks. You got to pry all the other chicks off of him before you can get to him.
I beg your pardon. For those
that... You a rose garden?
Oh, yeah, by the way, you were bitching about the date I stood you up for, the event you went to alone, and I said you didn't leave alone, did you?
Well, I refuse to answer on the grounds that may incriminate me. But secondly... No. How do you expect me to, wander the streets of New York drinking box wine? I don't do that. That's not how I roll.
I understand.
By the way, Steph and I, I'm going to give a little BTS right now. Steph invited me out as sort of a semi-apology. Friday, we actually went out and had a sit-down. And where did she take me?
A wine bar.
Yep.
Knowing full well you don't drink.
Of course. Yeah, right.
I don't. I didn't hear that part about
that.
He says it just about every time he's in here, Stephanie.
It's not even like an accident. It's literally my nature as a human being. It's not like
I'm just watching his lips move. I'm not really listening.
Since when am I lips moving my around my zipper?
And then I said, I'm sorry. Do you want to go out for a milkshake? And you were like, don't patronize me.
I don't drink milk. So do you not listen to anything I say? Look, this is how it's supposed to go. In relationships, the men are supposed to be the ones who don't listen.
What? Sorry?
Exactly.
And you're the one who's supposed to complain about it. But is that the case? No.
No.
So she takes me to a wine bar, and then she starts selling me to the waitress.
Oh, I didn't have to sell you
so much bag of drink.
Hussy was making a complete fool of herself. She was all over you for that.
She was not. She was serving us. She was bringing us what we had ordered. It was as simple as that.
Please.
And then you're like, do you know
you're
who he is?
You're such a man. She was embarrassing.
Did you bring her what she ordered?
At the end, you know, we're like, oh, thanks so much. And, you know, he's like, I'm Hal. I'm like, I'm Stephanie. And I look at her. I'm like, it's Hal Sparks, you know. And she goes, I know. And then just to collapse into a little puddle.
You're exaggerating so many features of this entire thing.
You are ridiculously cute and charming. It's too much already. It's like looking directly into the sun. No woman can withstand it. It's ridiculous. It's like an eclipse without the glasses or something.
You know what? It's becoming harder and harder to disagree with you. You know,
I was being all charming and funny, and I said that to her. I'm like, isn't he ridiculous? It's too much.
And by the way, I now know why you're complaining about your experience in New York to some degree, too, because I actually got to see Castle Miller. And the apartment I stay in with my friend Rachel has an apartment in New York that I stay in because I would like to save thousands of dollars by not hanging out in the W. And and it's like being a real New Yorker. And so I was like, oh, okay, you know, Steph's got a place. It's New York's expensive. And, my friend Rachel's place is like the size of a postage stamp, and it costs $3,000 a month. And Steph's like, I got a place. I'll show it to you. Maybe you could, I don't know, it's okay. And then I go to the place.
Oh, by the way, even dogs whore themselves to Hal. He was at my place, Chris and Fred.
Right.
He was just on his back in Hal's lap the whole night like a baby.
Yeah, it's true. I was like the dog whisperer.
But that dog is like 300 pounds.
I know. My leg is still numb. but the place looks like Bruce Wayne lives there. Her place is so huge. I was walking around looking for a headless, like a bust of, you know, Mozart that I could lift the top off of, push a button, and then, you know, like, this is where I slide to the radio studio.
And the terrace garden.
It is huge.
Stop separating me from my people.
It's like the Tom Hanks apartment in Big.
Exactly.
Yeah, he kept doing lines from Trading Places. He was like, I dreamed that a Negro took all this away from me.
Exactly. Like Dan Aykroyd was going to wake up on the floor and then start cleaning his shotgun. This place was, it's enormous. I didn't get to see the helipad, but it was raining. So,
that's about it. All right, let's get to my hate mail from Larry King last night. I love this. James writes, just saw you on Larry King. You're a great example of what's wrong with our country. Talk, talk, talk.
Huh?
It doesn't matter what you think. Well, I get invited on to talk.
That's what you do for a living. That's what
Nice. Okay, I'm what's wrong with the country.
Yeah, and apparently...
We certainly don't need another talking head to tell us what an election means. Well, all right, then I'll just tell Larry no next time.
Right, yes.
Why doesn't someone fix all the problems?
Yeah, now it's my fault, Jim. I don't know how I... What? Let's see. Ken writes, Steph, watch you on Larry King tonight. I just want to let you know you can pee on my desk anytime, Ken.
What?
That's very nice. Oh, ooh. Well, Penn Jillette asked me, Stephanie, is there anything the president could do tomorrow night you wouldn't like? And I said, well, if he pees on Larry's desk, that's... That's the only thing he can do.
You made a body function joke on Larry King.
I did. I needed Hal to spoon me yesterday.
Stephanie, that's inappropriate. I'm taking off my microphone. Addis Ababa, hello.
Hal, I needed you to spoon with me yesterday. I got called a chirpy apologist for the president, among other
things.
Well,
that's probably my fault because I've weaned you on that or whatever.
I know.
And by the way, am I the only person who understands the budgetary freeze that the president is wanting to do and the difference?
See, I knew that only you and Joanne Worley could make me feel better.
And the difference between his proposed freeze and McCain's proposed freeze. The across-the-board spending freeze that McCain did and what the president is doing. Okay, it's pretty simple. Draw a mountain range on a piece of paper. Then look at it and go, this is the budget for all these different social programs. At each one. Some are much higher than others, but they're all in the same one-eighth of the budget. Okay, it's a graph of that. Okay. The budget that, you know, the freeze that McCain wanted to do is a freeze on all those as they stand. So that same line doesn't change. All the budgetary, if a program is making very little money, it stays making little money. If it's making very high money, it stays making very high money. This was the McCain budgetary freeze. And the reason it worked for McCain and the Republicans at the time was because they had all their pork that they wanted, and they were killing all the social programs that actually make a difference.
Right.
And they could keep them low and choke them off, and they could, you know, make sure that their corporate buddies in agribusiness were getting all the subsidies to make cornflakes. So, in their states. Now, here's the difference between the Obama budgetary freeze. It's an overall budgetary number freeze for that section of the budget. Mm-hmm. So, if it's $45 billion, it stays at $45 billion. the programs that are above
so it's
that.
Not, we're not cutting any social programs,
no,
is what you're saying.
Some are. Yeah. Some will come down because they're peaked too high, and we're going to try and pull waste from those. And some will actually come up. There will actually be benefits to that. Hmm. And that's why the Republicans have a problem with it and why they're hard selling against it.
Well, then why hasn't Obama or the Democrats come out ahead of this and have put a clampdown on all this talk about it?
I agree with the...
Well, maybe he'll do that tonight. That's what I was saying. Let's wait and hear. That's what I was trying to say. They were beating me up yesterday,
but
Hal,
you know,
the
what?
Mooks.
This news was leaked yesterday. Right. They should have come out ahead of it yesterday. Yep. Yep. Instead of, you know, allowing all of this misinformation to get out there.
Well, part of the misinformation thing, again, is that they get to, you know, they get to spend their ammo at the trees. And when he comes out and says what it actually entails, that it's – and the thing is, the other thing is people don't necessarily even understand it when you explain it to them. So if there's a freeze – you know what it's exactly like? And this is the best example I can come up with. Do you ever watch Dave? I know we're fixated on the American president.
Stephanie's always fixated on
that. That's not the right president movie, not Dave.
Remember in Dave when Frank Langella says, if you can cut $125 million out of the budget, you can have your stupid homeless shelters. And he didn't really mean it, but he said it. And so Dave goes about cutting stuff out of the budget, and one of the things was like, why are we spending money on advertisements to make people feel good about the American car that they just bought? Let's cut that out, and you know, and we'll add it to it. We'll stack it up so we can get to that.
So you're saying Barack Obama maybe is not the real president. The real president has a stroke, is in a basement somewhere, and he's pretending to be him. And at the end of the speech tonight, he'll pull the mask off, and he'll be the
or he'll faint away. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that in the budgetary part where Charles Grodin shows up, and they go, why is there all this crap being spent that isn't actually helping anybody? If we take that down, we can actually raise it in another area and keep the budget line that they're insisting on. And that's what this particular spending freeze is. And the nice thing about it is that it comes and the Republicans are on to this part of it, is that it's great fodder for the elections. You know,
Al
that he
Sparks,
was...
you are my happy place. You and of course Joanne Worley. The only thing.
Was that
God,
me?
We all feel better now.
That was Joanne Worley.
So maybe having Paul Krugman come out against it is going to work to Obama's benefit ultimately.
Yeah, well, it will certainly feed the right wing guys who think that it's a legitimate freeze, and hate the fact that he's throwing them a bone. They think.
You mean maybe he's playing chess instead of checkers again?
Right. Well, here's again. You remember? We talk about this sometimes, but how each state. They give a dollar for every dollar they give to the federal government in taxes that the states put out. Certain states get a lot less, like the blue states in particular, New York and California, and are particularly hit bad. That they give a dollar to the federal government, they get about 56 cents back in federal programs. Whereas Oklahoma gets $1.40. They overdo it. Okay. Right. This is the equivalent of saying to, and it's all the red states that get more of that federal tax dollar all the time. Okay. Imagine if he said, okay, every state gets exactly what they put in. For every dollar you put in, you get a dollar back. Which states do you think would freak out and go, this is not fiscal responsibility. You're hanging us out to dry.
Yeah, exactly.
The red states.
All right. Right. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Hal Sparks, if you can make me feel better about health care, I
can
will
make
buy
you
the
feel
entire
better about anything.
Joanne Worley box set. Not kidding. 17 minutes after the hour, right? I'm back with Hump Days.
Why would you do that to me?
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, God, I love Hump Days and Hal. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Even the Dow is going down.
Oh,
22 minutes after the hour.
But in a good way.
What? Mm-hmm. It's my job to talk about the Dow. It's down 29 points. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, Hal, take me to my happy place, because, Harry Reid, it's hard for him not to inspire confidence in it.
I've had a number of meetings with the Speaker, spoken to the White House on several occasions, and we're going to find out how to proceed. But there is no rush.
There's no rush. We're just going to wait and see what the Republicans think and ask their opinion. and politely ask them if there are some things we might think about changing at some point in the future.
Here's what I want to know.
It's the incredible shrinking bill. I love Steny Hoyer sketches elements of scaled back health bill. How much more can you scale this back, Hal?
I'll wait till they see what they actually put together, because I think there is an element that Obama's more involved in the talks now, which is why it didn't happen immediately, and it didn't happen before the State of the Union, because he kind of looked at what they're putting together and went, eh. So it'll take a little time. But as far as Harry Reid, there are two things. One is I know a lot about senatorial procedure, and I know a lot about budgetary stuff. I have no idea how we pick our senatorial leaders and our majority leaders.
And how did that happen?
Is how in the hell did Harry Reid become the senator from Nevada? You know what I mean? Like, for Vegas, this is how, who they, I mean, legalized prostitution, gambling and sand, and cowboys and guns and craziness.
And Lake Tahoe.
Right, but even still, Lake Tahoe is playground, and the only reason it's doing as well as it is.
You should have had an Elvis impersonator.
Exactly. And yet we get, he looks like he should be from Utah. He really does. Well, he looks like the senator from Utah.
He was raised by Mormons.
Well, so. And that makes sense to me. But it drives me nuts.
I always think he's going to come out of the Senate with his glasses broken and, off like to the side. Like he got roughed up in the coat press again.
People worry about Bernanke being reconfirmed and that kind of stuff. And you know, I'm not a fan of the guy, but I'm certainly, less of a Greenspan fan, ultimately.
Mm, yeah.
And this is, he was a mild departure, but an important one in a couple of areas from how Greenspan ran things. But I don't.
And Greenspan made all his decisions in the bathtub, which he looked like he did. He looked like he spends entire
He's
too long
prudy.
In the bathtub.
Right.
He's just, he looked like a raisin with glasses.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's married to, what's her name?
Andrea Mitchell,
which they never talk about. And she talks about the stock market.
Right.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah. But she will talk about his bubble baths.
Honey, you want soap on a rope?
Seriously.
By the way, what do you think is going to happen with the infrastructure?
She happened to mention one day that he loves to take bubble baths. And,
okay.
But so, so I don't. I never looked to Harry Reid for how things are going. That drives me crazy. That being said, he did manage to get the Senate bill passed with that thin 60-vote BS that we had to deal with. Now, and like I said, we have a certain point where we now, because of Brown, we've eliminated what I call the illegitimate supermajority, this idea that we had it, which I didn't really count as real because of Lieberman, because of the Blue Dogs, and now I think people will recognize that when the sausage is being made, it's actually being made. It's actually, we had this idea that we have 60 votes, why don't we just push everything through? Well, one of those votes is Lieberman. That doesn't count. It never does.
Mm-hmm.
And with five of those people, here's what we, and the push to eliminate the filibuster, I think, is necessary, at this point, and we should
Absolutely.
Be doing simple majority votes on major issues like
here's come, Evan Bayh and what's her name? Blanche Lincoln, the two centrist senators threw up a roadblock to salvaging President Obama's health care overhaul. They've said they would oppose the strategy Democratic leaders are considering to reconcile the House and Senate bills. They're talking about using reconciliation for part of it. Jim Clyburn, for the first time, told reporters he believes the House could pass the Senate bill if the lawmakers get rid of the special Medicaid deals for Louisiana and Nebraska and dial back the tax on high-cost insurance plans. Democrats, so they have four options for the incredible shrinking bill. No bill, good job there. Scaled-back measure designed
to
attract...
The Clinton plan, as it were. Right.
Some Republican support. Good luck with that. The House passing the Senate bill or the House passing the Senate bill with both chambers making changes to bridge their differences. I love this. Obama called the months-long debate an ugly process. It looks like there were a bunch of backroom deals. Well, that's probably because there were a bunch of backroom deals.
Yeah.
That's probably why it looks like that.
Yeah. Well, and also, and the last one is probably what we're going to end up with, which is actually helpful because a lot of the things that we really do want to push through can be done through reconciliation once that bill has passed. Mm-hmm. The problem is if you don't pass it, then these things don't become elements of the budget. And until then, they require that they can be filibustered. They can't be passed through reconciliation.
Right.
Reconciliation is all budgetary issues, and they can fight the legality of elements of it, like pre-existing conditions and those kind of things, by saying that's not part of the budgetary issue, and we can filibuster it, and you do need 60 votes.
Right.
If this gets passed, as stinky as it is, all of the elements of it become part of the budget.
Which can be reconciled. Got it. Okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
Through many ways, like Medicare was.
Hal, I want to get your take on this. Chuck Schumer.
I think people want to carefully analyze where we go from here based on both the substance and what happened in Massachusetts.
See, that's what I'm afraid of. They're taking the wrong lesson from Massachusetts.
Well, that's, you know, I don't mind him judging it based on the substance of Massachusetts, because the substance of Massachusetts says that most voters are for health care, for health care reform. If you're going to base it on the substance, that's fine. If you're going to base it on the knee-jerk reaction, then that's not. You know, it's the same thing with the Afghan policy. You know, if you're going to base it on the reality, which is what Obama was dealing with, that's one thing. If you're going to do it on the knee-jerk, we need to stay in forever, we need to get out immediately, then you're not going to like anything that happened.
Because Osama bin Laden used to be there some years ago.
Exactly. And now we're actually, you know, we're hunkered down, as it were, and we have to, that extrication is going to take work.
So we're going to invade Yemen and Somalia and anywhere
else? Exactly.
Cambodia, wherever else they meet.
So when you have the choices, when you're presented with a choice of we need to back off entirely or we need to go full throttle, that in governing, that doesn't work. That's a speedboat policy. The United States government and the people of the United States are a giant cruise ship. It takes more time to turn. Yeah. And we hit the iceberg last year, and we're still careening off of it. Go on, Rachel Maddow, I think it was last night. If you can check out her show. She had a graph of how the economy has done under Obama versus Bush.
Yes.
It looks like Lazarus's health chart.
Oh, yeah. No.
29 exactly. minutes after the hour, right back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have seen this before, you know. Pretty girl coasting by on her looks.
I get things because I'm smart and funny and talented.
Steph, put your headphones on.
I'm sorry. I'm distracted. I'm in the midst of the Hump Days with Hal, you know.
Now she's watching the feed just like Jim is. Jim, like, they tend, both Stephanie and Jim, when I have them on camera, tend to look at themselves on camera all the time.
Us radio people are easily distracted by pretty shiny objects.
And by pretty shiny objects, you mean you. Yeah, that's lovely.
She means Stephanie.
So right, yes. And rightly so.
Melly, who her handle is Hot for Hal. Please, Stephanie, he's so effing hot. Please give us some vicarious enjoyment and get it on with Hal. I just watched a video of him singing, and if you don't jump his bones in my honor, I know I won't keep my sanity intact. Oh, my God. I mean, have you seen him with his band? Lord, have mercy. Lustfully.
Wow.
Melly.
And you don't have a girl in every port?
Oh, he has thousands.
Story.
Okay, first of all, there are a lot of ports in the world. That's
work. Listen, he had to go somewhere else right after our little soiree. Last phrase, like, I got a thing, I got some friends.
He's got girls port and starboard.
You're making him turn red there, Steph.
He's ridiculously cute and charming and funny, and he does it on purpose. All right.
What? And by the way, you don't go to spinning class every day so that you can kind of, you were bending over in front of the cam like crazy when I handed in there with you, and we're walking down the street, and she's all dressed up into the nines. It's great. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm
in my
only
defense, you asked me to bend over, so, you know.
Arguably, I pushed you. like, I'm not, by the way, she fondled me a lot at the house, so that's one second. Okay.
All right, so Hal, clarify what you think is going to happen. Steny Hoyer talking about the incredible shrinking health bill.
Democratic leaders are taking time to talk to our members about what they're hearing from their constituents and to digest with some clarity the message that voters in Massachusetts were sending.
Oh, come on. Get off Massachusetts.
I know, and they're saying he warned doing a smaller bill might be hard to piece together because most changes are interrelated, which I think is true. You know,
Mm-hmm. They already have health care in Massachusetts.
That's why it wasn't a referendum.
Right.
But at the same time, when they polled everybody, which they still didn't exit poll during that, but we'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. They still said, you know, the voters in Massachusetts still said this is not a referendum on health care reform. As a matter of fact, most of us are for it.
So why are people pretending it is?
Right. Because I think it gives cover to the people who are against it, who, you know, that big majority we've had with those 8 or 10 people who really wish they didn't have to vote for this because they're getting a lot of money from insurance companies and that kind of stuff. This gives them cover. See, the voters of Massachusetts, this is a referendum. We need to rethink this. Maybe they're going to start all over.
Somebody asked earlier what the difference between Evan Bayh and a sphincter is. Sphincter has a purpose, was that joke.
Sure.
Evan Bayh cheered President Obama's spending freeze, but criticized him at the same time on health care, saying he's spending too much time on it. Don't you think that, I hope that's part of what the president does tonight, Hal, is look at the health care reform is reducing the deficit much more significantly than this spending freeze. The Senate bill would reduce the deficit by $132 billion over 10 years, or up to $409 billion over 10
years.
And
he will address that tonight. That will be part of this, because he's still, you know, there's still a movement to get it done. And that's true of both the House and the Senate bills, that it will lower the deficit. He will be
using
that as
a positive. Congress, during his address in February, he said, put simply, our health care problem is our deficit problem. Nothing else even comes close. Nothing else. Period. You know, he's got to reclaim that, doesn't he?
I think so, but I think people are forgetting all the positives that have happened this year because we're getting caught up in the sales that we're getting from
Got to show those graphs.
Absolutely.
Rachel.
Absolutely, people need to see actually what happened last year.
It really is striking when you see this.
Oh, yeah.
No, what is it? Explain it again, Hal, for those that just tuned in. Rachel Maddow had a graph.
Rachel Maddow showed a graph of where the economy was under Bush and in the last, in 2008, and since Obama's sort of plan kicked in, his stimulus package, how it's gone back up. And I was saying it looks like Lazarus's hospital chart because it was so bad.
Well, this is what I was saying, Hal, is I think that people, that's the problem, is people are impatient. It's, you know, we're kids in the back seat. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I think that's what I keep saying. Give the guy a break. Do you not remember how bad it was? And this is what I was saying. The stimulus is working. The problem is when unemployment is still so bad and you're the one out of work, of course you say it doesn't work. Oh, it's not working. Well, the stimulus isn't working.
Right. Watch for a lot tonight of the left to get more bones thrown their way than they think. Specifically, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and some other social program elements. But you have to understand that under Obama, the hate crime bill got passed, which had been languishing. The Lilly Ledbetter Act
got passed.
Frank
Rich said this morning on the show, Hal, I also think that, you know, I don't want to hear again, we're going to do this, or this is what I believe in.
About,
I want to know how specifically we're going to do it and when.
I agree, but I think part of the argument that people have had against, you know, how he's felt about Don't Ask, Don't Tell is that he's done it in personal appearances, or he's done it in smaller venues, as it were. But adding it to the State of the Union and making it very specific is a big difference. Mm-hmm. This is his first State of the Union, really. In all practical purposes, with a full year behind him.
And as far as the deficit goes, you should remind people that the Bush administration wasn't counting the wars.
No.
It was completely swept under the rug.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, it looks worse.
Of course, because you go, this is actually what we're spending.
Right.
And it's the same thing that, quite frankly, most households have gone through. You know, is that they're looking, you know, people are going, okay, I was charging this to a credit card. I was putting this bill on a credit card. I was putting this, you know, my house payment on my MasterCard. And then at one point you have to go, I can't do that anymore.
Right.
It's going to look ugly for a time. You'll get out from under it.
Yeah, that's like, I don't put wine on my actual budget, Hal, because that's something, it's like the security spending. That's something that just cannot
exactly.
be cut.
Exactly. That's a permanent part of the budget.
Yeah.
it's listed on your accounting list as Ernest and Julio Gallo.
That can't be cut into in any way. That's defense. That's defense of my sanity budget there.
Right.
All right. I think we should listen to Republicans more is what I think. Representative Tom Price, Republican of Georgia.
It's time to drop the Democrats' health care takeover and work together on putting Americans back to work.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was, a big health care takeover? That's what it was?
Yeah.
Even the big federal exchange for the insurance companies that are allowed to make a profit in other states that they weren't allowed to before. And that the public option got its name changed, quite frankly, into the nonprofit entities allowed and government through government oversight into the exchange, which is exactly what that is. Yeah, that's the big takeover. That's what it is. This is us shepherding it right into Canada and England and France. This is, you know, the horror that American women, if they got pregnant, getting, 6 weeks of maternity leave guaranteed with a maid provided by the state. What
Stalin-ish. The president, I think he will admit mistakes have been made on health care. He did talk about, after weeks of denials, that the health care reform effort failed to exhibit the transparency he promised. Obama is conceding that locking the public out of key discussions was a mistake. Mm-hmm. He said, we had to make so many decisions quickly in a very difficult set of circumstances that after a while, we started worrying more about getting the policy right than getting the process right. Blah, blah, blah. The healthcare debate as it unfolded legitimately raised concerns, not just among my opponents, but also among supporters, that we just don't know what's going on. It's an ugly process, and it looks like there are a bunch of backroom deals. He said he planned to address that point in the State of the Union address. He said, the process didn't run ideally the way I'd like it. We'd like to move. We have to move forward in a way that recaptures that sense of opening things up more.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did issue the executive order establishing the transparency sort of agency, as it were, mm-hmm. And releasing... What is it, it's somewhat like 4 million Bush emails that are being declassified right. currently that were mm-hmm, supposedly right. during Bush was like, I don't know where all those Cheney emails went.
It
was all just...
Fell down a rabbit hole. He
insisted the White House has delivered on transparency they have direct control over. He said this is the first White House in history where you know anybody who's walked into my office, anybody who's walked into the White House, you ever actually have a record who comes in. We put more stuff on the Internet than ever.
And no Jeff Gannon. This
right.
time around.
And it's absolutely true. That's the thing about it. But here's, again, that's one of those things he's going to bring
count.
Up.
That didn't count. He went in Scott McClellan's back door.
Tel
Aviv.
No, Karl Roves, by the way.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly Karl Rove has a back door. The other thing he's going to do, I think, tonight is bring up the things that have happened that either people forgot or they willfully kind of glazed mm-hmm. over. Some of the things that were only released in a low-end way kind of on the White House website because they didn't want it attacked. They wanted it to be implemented before the right wing came after it. And it was kind of a look over here at this birdie thing while they slowly released, he signed some executive orders that were, I think,
right.
very positive.
Do you think he's going to address the filibuster and all that? Joe Biden just said, the party's short-lived Senate supermajority mm-hmm. was as much a curse as a blessing. He said when we had 60 votes, it was an expectation left, right, and center that we could do everything we wanted to do, which was never realistic. Yes, it's a practical impact, but I'm not so sure what a blessing 60 votes was. He said, I can't remember a time when virtually every vote, even those of no great consequence, required a supermajority.
Jim, who said something similar to that?
I think that was you.
I'm fairly certain that is something that I've been saying for since we got it, almost,
right.
This and that it's been this artificial supermajority that's
right.
been easily, pulled away, and we've had to give concessions. It's why we were talking about people like Ben Nelson and Lieberman so much.
Genos, Democrats in name only.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have been discussing these people if the vast majority of the Democrats weren't good people working for really strong bills held hostage by these idiots.
Yep, absolutely. All right, 44 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and the controversy over bringing Gitmo.
That gets Hal hot.
Oh, gets me all fired up.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour. Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. Hey.
Thanks.
I wanted to let you know real quick, there were three quick things. MSNBC ran a headline this morning, Obama Girl, Love is Gone. And they spent quite a bit of time on that.
Boy.
And
wow.
The second thing is no one has really talked about this. In Elkhart County, Indiana, that was a big focus for President Obama, the RV industry, and all these people mm-hmm. got laid off. They've been calling back over 2,000 workers since the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they've decreased their unemployment by at least 2 to 3 points.
Wow.
So I had said something to Hal. When
right. Well, that's what Hal was talking about, Rachel Maddow's graph last night. I mean, and I've been saying that there are you can quantify the gains that have made economically. It's mm-hmm. just that things are still bad, you know?
Right. Right. And I talked to Hal during your vacation, and I made a mention that what Obama inherited wasn't just a mess. He inherited a house from an episode of Hoarders.
Right.
Where there's just this layer upon layer of mess.
Cats and feces.
And here's the thing. Every time he cleans a layer, there's still a layer of mess. And he keeps getting blamed for it.
Someone left a lasagna under the couch. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, honey.
That was exactly it. Was that, you know, I often use the analogy that it's like cleaning out a closet for someone. You know, you walk in and they go, okay, can you help me organize this closet or whatever? Well, the first thing you have to do is take everything out and lay it on the floor. And if they came in the middle of it.
Mess.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I told you to clean it up.
Look what you did.
Yeah, you've just left everything all over the floor. Is that your idea of clean? No.
Come back in 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Just leave me alone for a second.
Just leave me alone for a second.
And then they come back in and you've got the jeans folded and you're like, what about the shirts?
Yeah.
What are the shirts?
What are you doing?
Like the president says, grab a hose or mop or something. Shut up for a minute.
And the Republicans are the ones who come over and start sniffing everything and going, this isn't dirty, this is clean. This is, well, then why is it wadded up in the corner? That's
all right.
Yeah.
Hal Sparks, you were here in New York last week doing the Joy Behar show.
It's true.
As Mama does from time to time. Did you have fun?
I had a great time. I met the lovely and talented Rachel Sklar from Mediaite.com, Dan Abrams' company.
Cool.
She was great. And she's the one who's responsible for us moving the show over to live stream because I went on the Mediaite show, which is really sweet. And the live stream folks poached us and were very
awesome.
They were very good to me. So I was like, okay, I'll bring my stuff over. They have we're going to over the weeks the positives will start to roll out. It'll really help, I think, grow that aspect of the show.
Fabulous. Yeah, I love doing Joy's show. Kirstie Alley apparently not a fan.
No.
The headline is Kirstie Alley wants to bash Joy Behar in the vagina with a microphone.
Oh, there's a reality show.
Oh
right
dear.
There.
Why the hostility? Why?
She writes, she tweeted, actually, why has Joy Behar turned into such a self-righteous sea head? Oh, my. That's, I don't know where that was.
How do you
word.
Even make sea head work as a word?
As a noun, yeah.
Well, the actress hasn't specifically stated what's made her so mad. It seems it might have something to do with Behar's handling of the Tiger Woods scandal on her headline news program. Kirstie writes, cheating is between a husband and a wife, not TMZ and Joy Behar. God, I want to bash her in the vagina with her microphone.
You know, by the way, not to side too strongly with a current or former Scientologist.
Current,
yeah. And I don't have an issue with that. Anybody who knows me knows that. But I personally agree in that, and that's the argument that I made. And a lot of it tends to be this kind of like women bashing men kind of thing. Oh, Tiger Woods, so disgusting, and he's sleeping with all these women. And I'm like, you didn't realize that in the cheating world, you had one cheating man.
Yes.
And 12 cheating women. 12 women.
How many? Yes. Let's count the cheaters.
Let's look at the numbers. Yeah. And it's not like these women, it's not like he works at some corporate office in Oklahoma and they didn't know he had a family in another state.
Right.
These are all women who knew he was a high-profile guy who was married with children and they still acted on it. So 12 women cheaters to one male.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, is dating roughly 1,000 women at a time. Here's a little fun fact for you. Here's a tip.
Some of them married, no doubt.
Here's a little tip. I don't know if you heard the whole story. When you go to sleep, hide your cell phone. Apparently, his wife found his cell phone, found the woman's name in there, and then started texting as if she were Tiger.
How do we know this?
They're recording this in the Daily Beast
because of
or whatever.
Joy Behar.
I was on Joy Behar, apparently. That's
well,
how I.
There were two people in the room. There was Tiger and Elon.
This is what they're reporting.
She
began, and then in rage, she woke Woods up by screaming at him. He was still loopy on Ambien, and then that's when she started hitting him and chasing him with the golf club, and then ran into the car and the fire hydrant and whatever.
Isn't like untoward sexual promiscuity a part of the contraindications of Ambien?
Yes.
Is that one of the things like you might start gambling and sleeping with strangers? Yeah, right. So
he's like, it's the Ambien. I remember. I've been sleeping.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
It's the curse of the green butterfly.
Exactly. I had restless.
No, that's the other one. That's Lunesta.
Hey,
no,
Jim, right. Speaking of Scientologists.
I had restless something syndrome. Restless penis syndrome.
It's restless syndrome.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Suri Cruz wants to be an actress. Mm-hmm. She's already started having private lessons. She is three.
Oh.
Tom Cruise said, I love it.
Great.
Acting is a great life.
Hi, diddly-dee, an actor's life for me, and my daughter.
Oh, boy. Save a little money for therapy for that kid. Okay.
No, I think
Steven Tyler, playing at a Home Depot near you, he shocked shoppers at a hardware store by serenading them. Oh, huh? Dear. He's just out of rehab, but perhaps he needs to, perhaps it didn't take.
Meanwhile,
he launched into a cappella versions of Dude Looks Like a Lady and I Don't Want to Miss a Thing over the loudspeaker system at a California Home Depot store.
Really?
Over the week.
Why not? What a treat for everybody.
That would be actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Steven also swallowed a few mouthfuls of gas from a helium machine and then kept singing in a high-pitched Bee Gees voice. Why couldn't I be at that Home Depot? Why did I pick that weekend to go to the Osh?
Started overcrying. I didn't know.
I
did breathing helium.
I know you guys are fans of the Jersey Shore. Is this delisted rights?
No, I'm not.
Jersey Shore kids trying the Friends tactic to get more money.
What?
Because combined, they're an unstoppable box of dumb. The cast of Jersey Shore is attempting a Friends-style negotiation to return for another season. TMZ reports that they have rejected the latest offer of $10,000 an episode. We're told MTV already has replacements of the Snooki and whoever don't accept the offer by Monday.
Snooki, The Situation, Pauly D.
Delisted writes, I had no idea there was a shortage of overtanned Italian douchebags in the tri-state area who like free trips to the beach.
Well,
if that's the case, I'm sure Boise, Idaho will be another ratings juggernaut between Teen Mom and Got VD? Here's your own show.
MTV and those guys are just looking for an excuse to do their American idling of be the next Jersey Shore cast. And they'll do an entire season of people wanting to be on the next version of the Jersey Shore. And then everybody will vote off the next cast of the Jersey. Like, there's no way to win in these situations in negotiations in a reality series, unless you're, of course, I guess, Dog the Bounty Hunter, in which case you can use the N-word and come back
and
on the air.
And then come back,
And pepper spray strangers for unpaid parking tickets.
Although, since you've been bringing
the name
the Hal,
of Jesus Christ.
Since you've been bringing the Hal Cam in, we understand reality television because it doesn't. Cameras make you stupid.
That's true. Well,
we just start getting stupid
people.
And crude and,
yeah.
They're going to set up cameras in Flint, Michigan, and just watch people eating cat food? Is that
right? Well, you know what? And there are people who would sign up to be on that.
Yes. Setting their furniture on fire to keep warm.
Right.
All right. You can see the Hal stream at HalSparks.com, by the way.
Yes.
Cameras were in the L.A. studio this week.
Yes. And you can follow me on Twitter, and we'll launch the show. I also do the Hal Sparks Hot and Sexy Cam Show on the weekends, on Saturdays, so you can...
Oh, don't forget Senator Bernie Sanders on the big show tomorrow.
Nice.
We will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bye, Steph.